Let me begin by saying that last summer, Danielle and I, we had been married for just a couple of months, and we went to run our camp in North Carolina. On the way there, we received a copy of the USA Today newspaper at our hotel. My opinion about USA Today newspaper is that it's McPaper because of its flashy fast food style and non-nutritional content. It focuses a lot on what the stars are doing these days. And we like to read what the stars are doing because we want to do the opposite of what the stars are doing. And as we read, we found a particular article in there, had a picture of Whoopi Goldberg, and the title of the article was "A Wounded Whoopi on Ted's Turnabout." I thought, boy, what a title that is. So I looked closely at the article, and Whoopi Goldberg had been dating Ted Danson. She stole Ted Danson from his wife. He got divorced from his wife of many years to begin dating Whoopi, and then he divorced Whoopi. He broke up with Whoopi. And so now Whoopi is wounded. And that's the point of the article. You know how in most relationships, if you have a breakup, your feeling is that you're really sad about it because you thought this was a person you might want to spend the rest of your life with? Listen to how Whoopi Goldberg described their breakup. She said, "It was devastating. It's a painful thing to be rejected by someone you think you want to spend a great deal of your time with." Have we gotten to the point in our society where relationships mean so little that to break up with someone is simply to say, well, I was hoping to spend a little bit more time with that person. I was hoping to make that person a part of my life for at least a little while. And now we have to break up. Our purpose in doing this seminar is the same purpose that we had during our formative relationship. And that is to find a way of guy-girl relationships that is honoring to God and brings glory to Christ. Now, as a Christian, that has to be our highest motivation in everything that we do. If it's not, then we don't need to start talking about courtship. We need to start with spiritual commitment and go on from there. So everything we do is going to be in that context today. Danielle, why don't you tell a little bit about what we think about courtship and how you found out about it?
We developed our own definition of courtship, and that is that it's a guy-girl relationship that leads to marriage and focuses on three principles. And those three principles are accountability, character, and preparation. I'll say that again for anybody taking notes. Courtship is, we defined as a guy-girl relationship that leads to marriage, which focuses on accountability, character, and preparation. I had grown up doing very typical dating relationships and situations all through high school and my early college years. And about midway through college, I just thought, this is not working. Something has to change. There has to be a better way. And I started looking at turning every area of my life over to God, and not just Sundays, and not just, you know, doing certain things at a certain time, but having a whole world and life view of Christianity. And about that time, I was working at Summit Ministries for the summer, and I saw Josh Harris's New Attitudes magazine with an article about courtship and dating. So that was the first thing I'd ever heard about courtship at all. And when I went back to school in the fall, one of my professors gave me John Holdsman's book called Dating with Integrity. And that does not deal specifically with courtship, but it has a lot of very good principles about bringing that area of your life to God.
We want to tell you those three principles and how our relationship worked through those three, but I want to start by telling you about how we came into a position of being in relationship. I, too, had heard about courtship at a national homeschool conference. A homeschool mom came to me. This was several years before Danielle and I had even really met. I was dating someone else. This homeschool mom came to me and said, "So is there someone special in your life?" I said, "Yes, there is." She said, "Are you dating or courting?" And my first thought, to be perfectly honest with you, was, these homeschoolers. I got a picture in my mind of homeschoolers searching through dusty old libraries for the perfect model of the knight in shining armor type courtship. And I thought, apparently, these people are primarily interested in finding the oldest possible way of doing everything there is to do and going back to it. I'm glad I was able to give courtship more thought than that. I had come to the point in my life where I had been in ministry for 3 or 4 years. I'd been out of graduate school. I was to the point where I had just given up on the whole concept of dating. And I came to the point where, actually, God brought me to the point where I had to say, "God, I'm not going to look anymore for a wife. If you want me to be married, then you can bring the person to me. If you want me to be single for the rest of my life, I will be single for the rest of my life." And I turned my attention away from the whole dating routine. In fact, I had been attending a singles group. I quit attending the singles group because I perceived that the purpose of that group was to match people up to get married. I started attending a Sunday school class based on what was being taught in the class, rather than based on who was in the class. And it was a dramatic change in perspective to me. I was not a teenager at this time. I was already into a career. I had a sense of direction and purpose in my life and so forth. And it was a dramatic change for me, a fairly traumatic type thing. I had also read John Holtzman's material on dating with integrity and began to practice that in my life. If you're not familiar with the principles he introduces in that book, he primarily talks about how before you are married, your relationships, guy to girl, should be as if they were brother and sister in Christ. Because that's really what we are. And to be a brother or a sister in Christ means two things. First of all, it means you would never do anything with somebody of the opposite sex that you would not do with your own sister or your own brother. Number two, it means that everything that happens to us is played out in the presence of God. And to do something that is compromising to yourself or to another person, you are forcing God to watch this happen. And I began to take that on seriously. And as a result, I tried to, in the relationships I had with just guys and girls, friendships, began to work to deepen those friendships. If I was going someplace to wash my car or to go to the grocery store, I would always take one or more people along, just whoever happened to be there. And I did things to try to build into the lives of other people. And at this time, Danielle had come on to the summer staff at Summit Ministries, and I was on the year-round staff. Our staff likes to sit around and eat dinner together. It's a great time, sort of almost like a Labrie fellowship, where we sit around and discuss things and have a great time at dinner. And I had gotten to know Danielle a little bit in that context, just listening to her ideas and sharing my ideas as we were sitting around the table with 10 or 15 people. One of my favorite activities in Colorado was to mountain bike after dinner. So that evening, I decided I wanted to mountain bike. I asked one of my brothers who was there. He said, no, he was not able to go. I asked another of my brothers. I had two brothers, and they were both there at Summit that evening. I asked if he would be able to go. He said no. So I turned around to the table, and the only person sitting there still was Danielle. And I asked, "Danielle, would you like to go mountain biking with me?" And she said, "Yes." And so we got on our bikes and went up the mountain. And I have to tell you that if I had known that Danielle had never been mountain biking before, I would have chosen a different trail.
Actually, it wasn't a trail. It was erosion on the side of a mountain. So Jeff and I got to the top of this trail, and I was very glad to let him go right ahead of me so I could learn what I was supposed to do and follow him. And of course he made it to the bottom rather quickly. It was almost straight down. And I started behind him, and on the way down I fell about 3 times, and I would fall and slide down, have to pull my bike back up and get on. And of course it's hard to get back on a bike when you're on a slope. But by the time I got to the bottom, Jeff was just sitting there waiting for me, and I had blood running down my knees and my hands, and he said, "Oh, are you okay?" And I just said, "Oh yeah, I'm fine," and just rode right by him without even stopping. But it gave a new meaning to falling head over heels for someone.
Of course, it rained on us that night on the way home. There is no way in a situation like that that you can put up a false front. You get to know the real person. And that, even though we hadn't really started in a courtship sense yet, that began to define everything that we wanted to do together. It was actually, we didn't start our courtship till sometime after that. Danielle had read the article in New Attitude magazine by Josh Harris on dating versus courtship. I had read that article. In fact, we had a discussion about it at the dinner table. And Danielle and I were really the only ones that agreed that that's really the way we ought to have relationships. As I began to observe Danielle working through that summer, I began to notice the godly character that she had. I began to notice how infectious her smile was. I began to notice the way she built into the lives of the other young women that were there at the camp. I began to notice that in times of high stress, which are frequent during the Summit Ministries summer program, especially for the summer staff, she became stronger through those experiences rather than weaker. And watching her in her ministry and hearing the testimony of others, I began to realize that this was a woman with godly character and that she was the kind of person that I would like to have for a wife. There wasn't really an attraction between us at that point in time. I just recognized Danielle's character. And I knew, based on the principles we had read about courtship, and we had not read much. We didn't know much. We still don't know a lot, but we do know something now. Based on those principles, I knew that I needed to talk about this with Danielle. So I arranged for us to have another activity together. Up until that point in time, we just did things in groups, and then we did that mountain biking. But I arranged for us to go together on a hike. And again, every activity I arrange turns out to be a major disaster. We started up one trail, started to get dark. We couldn't make our way back down that particular trail. And so, if you can't make it down the trail, the obvious solution to me is go up. So we went up. There was another trail somewhere up above there, generally speaking. And we were able to, after about an hour and a half, scraped up with briars, everything else, make it all the way up to this other trail. By then it was pitch black. And we were on another trail trying to make our way down the mountain. And I chose that time, because of my great sense of timing, to have this discussion with Danielle. There is no easy way to ask someone if they are interested in courtship relationship. And so I just said to Danielle, "Danielle, if I were you and I were your age, when I was your age, I would have been afraid to hear what I'm about to tell you right now." Smooth, huh? I said, "But you have the character qualities that I am looking for in a wife."
A lot of people ask me, "Did that scare you? You know, what did you think?" Because Jeff's next question right after that was, "I would like to ask your father permission to court until marriage." And they say, "Oh, but you hadn't dated. How could you know? How could you make such a commitment?" But Jeff and I had observed each other's character all that summer, and, you know, spending time with all the Summit staff and doing things, and even doing ministry things together. So we had really gotten to see how the other person acts in different situations, and you know, that person would live out what they believe, and we really got to see that in the other person. So it didn't scare me at all. In fact, it seemed perfectly natural that that would follow. So I said, "Well, Jeff, you have the character qualities that I would like in a husband." And he said, "Well, may I ask your father permission to court until marriage?" And I said, "Yes."
Well, a lot of people have asked us, "Well, what about your emotions? Were you in love?" And the answer, quite frankly, is no, we were not. At that point in time, we had observed each other primarily in groups, with maybe one or two exceptions, the mountain bike ride being one of those. At that point in time, though, we began to recognize that emotions are a lot more fallible than your understanding of the character of someone else from a biblical standpoint. That emotions can fail you. They go up and they go down. If you try to make decisions based on emotions, your whole life just goes up and down. So our commitment came before the emotions. Now that scares us in today's society because we are such an emotionally oriented society, are we not? We do things because we feel like that's what we ought to do, rather than because that's what the Bible says, or that's what we know we ought to do because that's what is right, or to not do something because that's what is wrong. So we began to sense at that point that God was leading us into these three different principles. And so we worked out, we didn't understand that much about courtship, but we worked out what we thought to be a courtship model. And it was primarily worked through the three principles that Danielle mentioned earlier. I want to start with the principle of accountability. Accountability is the foundation of courtship. And we mean accountability to parents, accountability to other people that are in authority over us. Pastor, mentor, but primarily parents. And I knew that if I were to engage Danielle in a courtship relationship, that I had to ask Danielle's father permission to do this. So I called him and arranged to spend the day with him. I drove from Colorado Springs to Wichita, Kansas, where he works in an inner city ministry. I spent the day with him just doing the different things that he does in the course of a day. And there was a certain point in the afternoon where I knew this was the time where we needed to have our talk. So I asked him if he would like to go get a Coke and talk. And he said yes, he would. In the car on the way there, my heart was nearly pounding right out of my chest. In fact, it did occur to me, wait, I'm now 27 years old. This does not have to be a part of relationships anymore. I'm grown up. I don't have to do this. But the Lord reminded me that it doesn't matter how old or how young you are, that your accountability system is still there in place. And it's there not to tyrannize you, but to benefit you and to give you protection. So we got to the place where we're going to have our Coke, and fortunately for me, Danielle's father is very direct. In fact, I think his words were, well, we're obviously not here just to look at each other. So I started in the best I knew how. I said, you know, your daughter Danielle's very beautiful. But the thing I most appreciate about her is her inner beauty, the character that she has. She's a very godly young woman. And she has the character qualities that I would like to have in a wife. And so I want to ask your permission to court your daughter until marriage. There, I had said it. I thought, well, how's he going to respond? He looked me square in the eye and said, what do you mean by court? And I thought, oh boy, how do I explain this? So I explained courtship to the best of my ability, what I knew at that point in time. He said, well, sounds kind of weird to me, but if that's what you want to do, I support you. Go right ahead. I said, well, do you have any questions for me? He said, yeah, I've got one question for you. Why haven't you kissed my daughter? Now, he's a very godly man. And I was so taken aback by that. But I learned two things. Number one, father and daughter communicate. Second thing I learned was how weird of an idea courtship really was. And so I explained that I had not kissed his daughter, that it had occurred to me, of course, as a guy. I mean, it has to at some point if you're normal. But as part of our relationship, it had not occurred to me to do that because our relationship was the kind that we wanted to develop and grow in character and have that be the focus of our relationship. So as part of our relationship, it had not occurred to me to kiss his daughter. And I explained that based on my past history, it was very important that we maintain absolute physical purity in our relationship. And he honored that. He understood that. We developed a level of trust to the point where I could even spend time with him when Danielle wasn't even there. And it was a fantastic way for us to develop that relationship. I also had a similar conversation with my father. And he was somewhat aware of courtship and how it works. And so we were able to establish that part of the relationship as well.
Also, during that whole school year, I was at school in Indiana, and Jeff was working in Colorado. Both of our parents lived a few hours away from each other in Kansas. So we weren't in the typical situation of living at home, you know, when you're young. We were already older. We were out of college. So we were, well, I was in college, but Jeff was out of college. And, you know, how did we be accountable to our parents? Well, anytime I came home for holidays or just to visit, I would visit Jeff's parents as well as my parents so that I could get to know his parents by myself and not just as a couple. Because so many young people get together and then they come to their parents and say, here we are, we're a couple, you know. And instead, we wanted to get to know our parents as a couple, but also individually. So when I went to Kansas, I'd go visit Jeff's parents and my parents. And while I was in school in Indiana, I also had a mentor in my church there who I met with about once a week. Sometimes, you know, because of schedule, we'd miss, but it was almost every week. And she could ask me anything about what was going on in Jeff and my relationship or any other area of my life. And I asked her a lot of questions, too, for guidance. So anybody who was an authority over us, and for other people, it may have been their pastor or somebody else who they had a mentoring relationship with. But be accountable to someone around you, especially your parents.
We also exercise the principle of accountability by spending our activities together with other adults. Yeah. Even when I came to Indiana to see Danielle, on a business trip or whatever I had going, we spent time with other people. So Danielle would pick me up at the airport and take us to another couple's house, and we would spend time with them. In fact, my pastor encouraged us to do that as a significant part of our marriage counseling. We did most of our marriage counseling by spending time with older couples and hearing their advice. And also hearing from those that hadn't been married very long and knew some of the short-term challenges that we would face. Remember, the whole principle of courtship is focusing on preparing for marriage. And so we really focused on that with our activities. With Danielle's mentor's family, for example, we would go over to their house and fix them dinner and spend the evening with them. And did things that were in accountability with others rather than looking for excuses to get off by ourselves. We even had double dates with our parents where we would get together, just mom and dad and the two of us. In fact, my mother is real excited. She was so excited about the courtship idea that when we first got together to explain to them what we think courtship means and how to do it, she got out her planning book and wanted to know what the date of the wedding was. Which we said, well, now that our purpose in this is to get married. But we are not to the point where we are to establish a time to get married. We are to the point now where we are going to focus on growing in godly character together. And our parents did really warm up to this idea. We discovered that our parents were not our enemies. And I have to tell you that as 27 years old, I had never had a dating relationship with a girl of which my mother approved. Does that sound familiar? I knew that we were in good stead in our relationship when I talked to my father one day on the phone. He said, I think your mother likes Danielle. I said, well, why do you say that? He said, because this morning at breakfast, she asked me if there was any biblical justification for a mother commanding her son to marry a certain person.
At Christmas time, my family also had family portraits taken. And considering Jeff to be practically part of the family and all of this, they invited him to be in the family portrait. Of course, they also took some precautions to take a few without him, just in case.
We didn't know. I mean, they couldn't believe it. My father, even though he understood courtship, he could not believe I was going in the family pictures with the DeBoer family. But we saw that as being part of our relationship. We had made the commitment. Now we were in the process of developing the foundation to prepare for marriage. The second point, we have accountability. The second point is character. And by character, we mean the focus of the relationship is building godly character in ourselves and in each other. That is the focus of the relationship, building godly character in ourselves and in each other. The purpose was not to just focus on each other as the center of attention. The purpose was to grow together. And a lot of dating, as you know, is just putting your best foot forward, right? You try to give somebody the very best impression of you, even if it's fake you still give that impression to them. And pretty soon that breaks down. But sometimes it doesn't break down until after you have made emotional commitments to each other that are very, very difficult to break. So our focus was to not just do that, to put our best foot forward, but to develop the relationship in the form of godly character. Now here's how that happened in our relationship. I believed at that point that it meant that I needed to take some role of spiritual leadership in Danielle's life. I had to ask her father permission to do that. I asked her father permission to have a Bible study with her through the mail because a lot of our relationship was long distance. And we studied 1 Timothy 4:12. 4:12, yeah. About the five character qualities that Paul told Timothy are absolutely essential in order for people not to look down on you because you are young. And I developed activities for Danielle to do. And I did some things for myself so that even long distance, we could develop in character through our relationship. We also were to the point where I developed ministry activities for us to do together, where we took a group of students to do something. Or we sponsored an evangelism project. At one point, Danielle and I sponsored an evangelism project in downtown Denver. And I took Danielle with me. And I witnessed the people on the streets in Denver just so she could see that I had the responsibility to be a spiritual leader in our relationship. And we met a homeless man, took him for a dinner, and were able to visit with him and share with him. And as I watched Danielle share with him and as I shared with him, we had more fun doing that than we ever would have had on a typical dating experience. But it was something that allowed us to focus on ministry together. And then also, we focused a lot on our family. That sounds good, doesn't it? Focus on the family. We could start a ministry called that, maybe. We've spent a lot of time with our families, with our brothers and sisters, with our moms and dads. We never looked for excuses to get away by ourselves. We spent time with them and did activities with them. And you really get to see the other person, what they're really like. Because I believe it's true that a girl will treat her father the way she's ultimately going to treat her husband. And a guy will treat his mother the way he's ultimately going to treat his wife. And so by spending time with family, you get to see what the other person is really like. So it confirmed to us that we were on the right track. Our green lights from our parents, spending time with family, getting to see each other in the real world context, it made a huge difference in our relationship. Also, the question of physical involvement always comes up. I think it's something that has to be talked through. For us, we made a commitment that we would not kiss until we were engaged. And that was an important commitment to us. We held each other accountable to that. We were honest with each other when we got into situations where there was even one time where we were driving. I was driving from Daniel's mentor's house back to Daniel's apartment and realized that this was a time where it would not be good for me to go into her apartment, even if her roommates were there. And I was able to say, you know, I'd love to come inside, but it's just not a good time. I hope you understand. And she understood, because we had focused on character to the degree that we understood where the danger zones were, and we were able to steer very, very, very clear of them. But to talk about avoiding physical involvement is to go on the defense. We suggest going on the offense, which means design activities that push you in the direction of developing leadership skills and character and ministering to others. And then the physical involvement thing is a whole lot less of a problem. Have you ever had a situation where you were waiting around for something to happen? And if you had nothing to do, it seemed like forever. But if you were busy doing something, the time went very quickly. That's exactly what that part of our relationship was like.
Also, Song of Solomon 2, verse 7 talks about not awakening desires before its time. So we realized what things would lead us into awakening those desires or getting into places that we shouldn't be, and so we just avoided that. And 2 Timothy 2:22 talks about flee youthful lusts and pursue righteousness. And that was what we tried to do. Instead of looking at the things that we shouldn't do or what we were trying to avoid, we tried to make righteousness our goal.
There are many ways that you can recognize godly character in someone else. We put a lot of them in our little booklet. But one thing we did that we thought was very important was write letters back and forth to each other. And not just mushy type, I love you, I miss you letters. We actually devised lists of questions that we wanted to ask each other about things that were significant and would ultimately be significant in life. We developed questions in the area of finances, how you use your finances, how you use your time, the family, things like that, and what our goals and priorities were. And we began to see how we can come together over that. We also did the same thing through phone calls.
Mm-hmm. So. We limited our phone call time to 1 hour a week, and we even make sure that that hour was not just sentimental sap, oh, I miss you, and, you know, all of that. Instead, we went through those lists of questions or went through our Bible study or just talked about different things going on in our life. But we were careful not to let the phone calls just go on forever. And we focused more on writing letters. A lot of people have asked to see pictures from our courtship time, and we don't have any pictures, but we have pages and boxes full of letters. And it's wonderful to go back and read those and see the development of our relationship in those letters.
Another way to assess godly character is to trust the judgment of those that are in authority over you. Our parents knew so much. They're older, they're wiser, they knew so much more. The adults that were around us, they could tell things in our relationship that were right. They also had the ability to tell when something was wrong and to let us know that something needed to be done about it. The final thing, our final point, is preparation. And my key verse here is Proverbs 24:27, which instructs primarily men to prepare your fields before you begin building your house. Now, what that meant to me was probably two things. First of all, that I would not begin pursuing a relationship to lead to marriage, and that's the purpose of courtship. I would not begin pursuing that until I was financially prepared not only to support a wife, but also to support one child. That was the standard that I had set for myself. It took me until age 26 to get to the point where I was financially able to do that. I did that primarily because my parents had encouraged me to do so. Their relationship was the opposite. They've given me permission to share it. They got married during their senior year of college. I was conceived on their honeymoon. And so when they graduated from college, they had to move off to a state, a faraway state. Neither one of them had even been there before. They had no money. They had piles of debt from school. My mother was 5 months pregnant with me. They borrowed $200, bought an old Packard, and just packed everything they had in the back seat, probably half the back seat. They had nothing, and moved off to another state. When I was born, they were still living in a motel looking for a place to live. And they said, whatever you do, don't do what we did. And so I took that to heart. That was an important part of preparation to me. The second part of preparation was to have a life purpose. You come together with someone because you are moving in the same direction. Somebody described it to me as it's like a triangle. You both start off here at the bottom. And if you're moving toward God and doing in ministry what He wants you to do, it draws you closer together. The most solid marriages that we're aware of are ones that people came together in the course of the ministry that God had given them for their lives. If you want more information on how that might work, you can read an excellent book by Elizabeth Elliot. It's called Passion and Purity. It describes how their relationship came together over the course of 5 years. And we both read that book and studied it and talked about it together.
Also, for women, it's also important to prepare your field, so to speak, before you build your house. And for women, that may mean just learning how to cook or learning how to do all the things that your mom does. Or if you're going to have another job or teach or whatever, learning those skills before you get married. And just remember, it's more important to be the right person than it is to find the right person. God can find that person for you. But if you focus on God and what He wants you to be doing and be going down that path, He can bring the person for you right along next to you. And you don't have to put your energies into finding that person. Instead, put your energies into serving Him.
That really happened in our relationship because we were both at the time working for Summit Ministries. Not everybody is interested in that kind of ministry. It's very specific, oriented toward, and while you're waiting around, you get busy on leadership. You start making an impact on the world. That's what you do in the meantime before God brings that person to you. And we both understood that, and there were so many things that we agreed on because we had been through that same kind of training. So those are our three points: accountability, character, and preparation. And do you want to hear the rest of the story?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, the rest of the story is engagement. I always wondered, how do you do engagement in a courtship-type relationship? Because you know from the start that you're going to get married, or it's not a guarantee, But you know that's the goal of your relationship, is to become the right person for marriage. So I wondered how to do engagement. And because the only thing that we really knew about courtship was what we had read in Josh Harris's New Attitude magazine, I decided to call Josh and ask his advice. Josh Harris at this time was 18 years of age. I called him on the phone. I said, "Josh, we sure appreciate the course that you set us on with that little article in your magazine. And because with the courtship, it's really worked out great. And we've had a super relationship." And I said, "I know that the ball is kind of in my court now for what happens next. And since you wrote the article and so forth, I thought I would call and ask your advice about what I should do next." I paused and got my pen ready. Josh said, "Well, that's really interesting." And then he said, "Well, when you figure it out, let me know. We can write an article about it." So I realized at that point, I had to figure out how to do it on my own.
The way it worked out was, there was a weekend in February when Jeff, unbeknownst to me, he had made plans to use one of his frequent flyer tickets and come up and see me for the weekend, and he was going to ask me to marry him. And instead, he was talking to one of his supporters that are in Indianapolis, and she said, "Oh, what are you coming up for?" And Jeff said, "Oh, I'm going to come to ask Danielle to marry me." And as soon as she heard that, she just screamed and set down the phone, and she was running around. She said, "Okay, instead of using your frequent flyer ticket, I'm going to get the youth group together, and we're going to have you speak to them, and we're going to pay for you to come up, and you can stay at our place." And she just had the whole thing worked out. And she even had a little coupon for us to go eat at the Olive Garden, and just had it all planned out. But I didn't know anything of that. I thought Jeff, "Oh, he's just coming up for a speaking engagement, and great, I get to see him."
Go ahead.
So the evening that Jeff and I got together, we had actually just visited with people and played with the dogs that afternoon and stuff. And then we went to the Olive Garden for dinner, and afterwards we came back to the house, and there were the logs and the fireplace that she had set up, and Jeff got the fire going, and we just sat down and started visiting. And I said, "Well, Jeff, do you want me to read a book to you, or do you want to just talk?" You know, because we enjoyed reading to each other, and we always tried to make use of our time and not just waste it. And Jeff said, "Well, I have a better idea." And I thought, "Yeah, right, you always have better ideas, but this time." And Jeff said, "I'll be right back." And he ran downstairs and he came back with a sheet of paper. And he said, "Come over here." And he set down the paper on the piano, and he sat down at the bench, and he set me in a chair situated just right. And he began to sing the song and play it on piano that he had written for me. And his brother had helped him put some of the music to it. And the only thing is, it wasn't quite singing.
Honey.
It was like we were laughing and crying and everything at the same time. So by the end of the song, his mouth was moving and there were no words coming out. There was no sound at all. But when he finished, I went and sat down next to him on a piano bench. And he said, "Danielle, let's make this official. Will you marry me?" And I said, "Yes." And that was the first time we kissed then. And that made it just really special at that moment.
There's something about the anticipation of that moment. Even though we knew we were to be married, it was still a very special moment. And it was so great to see how our relationship came together, that we moved from commitment into falling in love with each other, based on a much more solid premise than would otherwise have been. And it changed the course of everything. Our engagement, people say, "Well, how did you decide to get engaged on that weekend?" Well, it was the only weekend I had free, so we chose that one. They said, "Well, why did you decide to get married when you did?" Well, because we wanted to be married as soon as possible. We believe in a short engagement. So that was the only weekend we had free to get married. So we just decided to choose that weekend, and our parents wanted at least 4 months to prepare for the wedding. So we set it 4 months away. Those decisions at that point were not the biggest deal in the world. because we had made the commitment, we were established in that, we were secure in that. Neither one of us had questions about, oh, is this the right person? All those questions have been taken care of already. And it was so great to see. I wish you could have been there on our wedding day, because it was such a happy, joyful occasion. We couldn't stop smiling through the entire wedding ceremony, smiling and crying. I had a friend there who's a real tough guy, real hard shell kind of guy. I saw him cry for the first time in my life. Friend of mine. Because the occasion was so beautiful, the celebration of coming together, knowing that it was pure, it was done in the right way, it was honoring to God, and it was incredibly a beautiful occasion. And in conclusion, I guess we have to say, first of all, let me say something to the guys. Guys, we work at the Summit Ministries. We work with approximately 12,000 students every year in our curriculum courses, 2,000 students every summer in camps and conferences. And I have to tell you that we have beautiful young women come to us all the time, beautiful in character and in appearance and everything else. And they come to us and they say, you know, that is what I want to have in a relationship. I don't want to have a crush on a guy. I want to have a guy I can respect, because he is the spiritual leader in our relationship. And that is their most important priority. So you say, well, there are no girls like that. I tell you, there are. And you can find them, but you can only find them if you're willing to take the initiative to be in a leadership role and to demonstrate that responsibility and that preparation and the willingness to be the spiritual leader. And I always have to say to guys, you basically know what's right. We all know what's right. It's just a matter of committing to the Lord that we will do what is right.
Also, for women, you may be thinking at this point, well, you know, I'm not ready to get married, and so I'm not ready to court, so what do I do right now? I mean, where do I go? I would say search the scriptures for what God has planned for your life, and just pursue Him. Pursue what God's plan for you is. Learn whatever lessons He wants to teach you, whatever skills, and become the most godly woman you can. And He will bring us alongside you the man that He has planned for you, if He does. And it's not necessarily the best thing in the world to pursue or the relationship at all, but to let the man take that leadership role and to realize that even if God does not have a plan for you to get married, He has a completely another plan of singleness, and that's a different role, not a lesser role. It's just a different role that He has planned for you. And maybe you'd be more effective single than you would be married.
Our last word is to fathers and mothers. Mothers, your ability in this is through the power of prayer. And I've had kids come to me and say, my mother curses me by praying for me. What do you mean? Well, I talked to the mother. She said, well, I do. I pray that if he does what is wrong, that the Lord will curse him. And if he does what is right, that the Lord will bless him. And this kid cannot escape it. And finally, he acceded to it. He just said, you know, that's my mother prayed for me. That's how I got through this particular time. And for fathers, it's important to start talking about these things before your kids get to the teenage years. Maybe too late for some, but for many it's not. Start talking about it, building it in now. Let your kids know that they are so special that they require a special plan for finding the special person that God has for them. It's not a negative thing. It's a great thing. It's the way to go.